Okay, I've asked you to turn to Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Now, I'm going to stop there and talk about a curse because I'm going to talk about curses a lot this morning. Curse is the expression of some form of adversity. A curse is an expression of some form of adversity, and he set us free from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, these verses reveal, and I know this is just a quick study on this, as you already know this, but these verses reveal an exchange. When Jesus hung on the cross, it states in the book of Leviticus that anyone who dies on a tree, by hanging on a tree, a cross, is accursed. So when Jesus hung on the tree, the cross, he became a curse. And what took place was a divinely ordained exchange, which is clearly stated in these verses. Jesus took upon himself every curse due to mankind, that we might be redeemed from the curse and enter into the blessing which God has prepared for his people. So, Jesus became a curse that we might receive a blessing. Now, I want you to say that after me. Jesus became a curse that we might receive the blessing. Now, let's say it all together. Jesus became a curse so that we might receive the blessing. Now, I want to explain to you the nature of curses and blessings. The word bless occurs over 600 times in Scripture, and the word curse about 300 times. And my experience has been that most of God's people are not familiar with the natures of curses and blessings. I believe that it is the purpose of God through the redemption of Jesus Christ that we should be released from curses and enjoy the blessings. Can you say amen? In my travels around the world, I find that many of God's people are enduring curses when they should be enjoying blessings. And one main reason is they don't know how to recognize what's a curse and what's a blessing. And the second reason is, even if they recognize it, they don't know how to be released from this curse to enter into the blessing. So I'm going to give you some simple explanation of blessing and cursing. But I want you to hear this. Now, people will be saying to me right now, or they're thinking, you might be thinking right now, well, Jesus released us from the curse on the cross. Yes, he made it available to us. But we're not automatically released from curses. Case in point, you can be a Christian and not tithe, and there's a curse on you, okay? A curse on your finances. So even though you're a believer, if you don't obey the word of God, then you're cursed with a curse, and God is the one who pronounces that curse. So I want you to hear this. Both of curses and blessings are vehicles of supernatural power for good or evil. And one characteristic feature is that very frequently they will continue from generation to generation until someone knows how to cut them off. And many believers are enduring consequences that may have happened many years ago, generations ago. And we have to trace our problem to its source to take appropriate action in order to be released. So the vehicles of blessings and curses are usually words. The vehicle of blessings and curses are usually words. Words spoken, words that are written, or words that are pronounced inwardly by yourself. However, blessings and cursings can also be transferred by physical objects. For example, just before we have our love pizza fest after church here in Denver today, just before that, we're going to take communion. Okay, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Communion means fellowship. So this cup, this physical cup that we bless, will become a fellowship in the blood of Christ as we partake of it together. So it's through this physical object of the cup that God transmits a blessing to us. In the Old Testament, there were various examples of curses transmitted by objects. Particularly under the law of Moses, if a woman was accused of being unfaithful to her husband, there was a specific test. The priest would take her to the tabernacle, write out a curse, and then wash off the words of the curse, the ink, into a cup of water. The woman would be made to drink that water and pronounce the curse upon her. If she was innocent, nothing would happen to her, and her husband could never accuse her again. But if she was guilty, there would be a disastrous physical consequences in her own body. This is an example of a curse being transmitted by something physical. So I have come into this truth by personal experience. For example, when I was first a Christian, we had a little baby named Jacob. He was about 2 months old, and we moved to this house, our first house. And he screamed at night. He screamed bloody murder at night for like an hour on end. And I thought he needed a spanking. So I'd whack him and tell him to shut up and so forth. And then I'd go lay down and he'd start screaming again. And then Lynn says, well, I'll take care. So she'd go in and coo and hold him a little bit and settle him down, lay him down in the crib. Then she'd come in and he'd go scream and scream and scream. So we were praying. We were perplexed. Were we lousy parents? Well, probably I was. But so one day I was in a carpool riding to work, and they said, how was your night? And I said, my son is, my little baby's just screaming at night. And they said, well, which room is he in? They knew the house. And I said, the front room, the front bedroom right next to the master bedroom. And he said, oh, and their eyebrows went up. And I said, what? And they said, oh, the previous owner of that house murdered his wife in that room. So guess what was in that room? There was a spirit of murder in that room that was coming upon my son. And so I didn't know much about this, but Lynn and I went in and we prayed through that room and broke the curse of a spirit of murder in that room that was causing such discomfort to our child, and he slept perfectly after that. Let me give you another illustration. Once we were out on soul winning in Montana, and I believe it was Lynn, she went and her partner went to a house of Mormons and was sharing the gospel with the Mormons, and we had literature to leave with them. And so they were contesting the Christian faith and Mormonism. So Lynn says, well, can we just leave this literature with you? You can read through it later. And they said, sure, if you'll take our book. So she thought, okay. So she brought the Book of Mormon home into our house. And we put it on my desk, which Holly was a young girl and sleeping in that room at that time. And I don't know if you remember that, but she was having terrible nightmares and so forth, you know. And every night she was in our room, a teenager, hop in bed. Well, where do I go? But anyway, so I went into the room and I saw that Book of Mormon laying there. So what did we do? I believe we had a fire going. We usually do in Montana because it's cold. And we threw that Book of Mormon in the fire, and we actually heard screams coming out of the fire. And we broke that curse of Mormonism and the demon attached to that in that room, and you slept fine after that, right? All right. So I have personal experience in this. Another woman I led to the Lord was in Inglewood years ago, and she was having a terrible time in her home. So I went over one night with somebody, maybe it was Lynn, and she said, since I gave my life to Christ, there's just evil, and I just feel this evil, and I'm fearful in my home and all this, you know. And I began to look around, and I saw all these Stephen King books on her bookshelf. And I said, well, there's demons attached to these books. By the way, Harry Potter books, there's demons attached to Harry Potter's books, you know, because these curses are on physical objects. So I said, what we need to do, and I'm going to ask you to do it, is repent of this. Let's take them out in the trash in the alley and dump them. And she said, yes. So she dumped all of her Stephen King books, and the curse was broken in that house, and she was free. But I want to say this, that another friend of mine had just four wall hangings on his wall of Oriental dragons, beautiful Oriental dragons, you know, and they were willed to him by his grandfather, who he loved very much. So he had them on his wall, and the Holy Spirit said to him one day, why do you have those dragons on the wall? He said, you know what the dragon represents in Scripture. The dragon represents Satan. And he said, yes, but they were my grandfather's. He said, you need to get rid of those. There's a curse over you as a result of these physical objects in your home. And he said, I just got rid of them out of obedience. But he said, little did I know that in the next year, my income doubled and I didn't do anything differently. That curse was hindering the blessing of God in his life that God wanted to release. Let me give you another example in just a minute. Until the darkness was dealt with, he could not go on with God's plan of blessing in his life, and he didn't even know what God had for him that was being kept from him until he just was obedient to throw these things out, and then God was able to release what he wanted to release in his life. Now, a family that at an altar call that was cursed, and God revealed that there was a curse over them, and so I went down and I said, sir, my message wasn't on this, but I said, may I pray over you? I believe there's a curse on your family. And he said, maybe that's why my daughter has broken the same leg 3 times in 18 months. He said, well, I don't know that. But when they were released from the curse, the daughter was immediately healed. They didn't pray for healing. The curse over the family was a barrier to the healing of their daughter's leg. So what I'm trying to say is we don't realize what curses do to hold back the blessings of God in our life. This is a principle. A curse over a family, a curse over a person, can be an invisible barrier to keep away God's blessing that God intended those people to have. For example, another example that a friend of mine had in ministry is there was an executive secretary who's worked for a corporation and has asked to type out some blessings, but were actually words from a cult leader, and everybody in that office were in this cult except her. She was a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. There was a lady guru that gave those curses to those people in the company, and the boss asked the secretary to type them out. And when she started, she said, well, I can't do this. I'm a Christian. So she went to the boss. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I never meant for you to compromise your beliefs, and I'll take care of it myself. But the guru found out about that and pronounced a curse on her. She's born again, spirit-filled, and immediately she got rheumatoid arthritis. Within weeks, it was debilitating. She couldn't type anymore. She was in terrible pain. But when this curse was broken, she was immediately healed. She didn't pray for healing. Nobody prayed for healing. She just prayed that this curse would be released over her life. She was not praying for that healing. She was simply releasing herself from a curse. So when the curse was broken, there was no more reason for sickness. Another example of an invisible barrier to the blessing of God in a Christian's life. Now, forms that blessings and curses take, I'm going to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy 28, which you might have marked in your Bible yesterday. There are 14 verses of blessings and 5 verses of curses. Because of time, I can't go through the whole list exhaustively, but I want to give you my summation, if you will, my summation of the main blessings and the main curses, which are exactly opposite each other. There are seven blessings. That makes sense, doesn't it? Complete, perfect. 5 and 14. Fourteen verses of blessing and five verses of curses. The first one, and this is my summation, you can read it later, is exaltation. That is being lifted up. You're no longer under things. You get the advancement. You get the promotion. You get lifted up. All right. The second one is reproductiveness. It's being fruitful in every area of your life. Reproductiveness, for lack of a better term. The third one is health. The fourth one is prosperity or success. The fifth one is victory. The sixth is the head and not the tail. The seventh is above and not beneath. I'll go through that list again. The first one is exaltation, that you're lifted up. You're advanced. That's the blessing. The second one is reproductiveness. Reproductiveness is fruitful in every area of your life. The third one is health. Fourthly is prosperity or success. Fifthly is victory. Sixthly is the head and not the tail. And God spoke to me, he said, the head makes the decisions. The tail just gets dragged around. So if you're a tail, it's probably because you're under a curse. If you feel like life is dragging you around and you're always being manipulated by life, that's a curse. And seventhly, you'll be above and not be beneath. Now let's look at the curses, which are exactly opposite this. Number one is humiliation. For blessings, it was exaltation. The curse is humiliation. Secondly is failure to reproduce or barrenness. Thirdly is sickness of every kind. Fourthly is poverty or failure. Fifth is defeat. Sixth, you're the tail and not the head. And seventh, you're under and not over. I'll say those seven again. Humiliation, failure to reproduce or barrenness, sickness of every kind. Have you ever known anybody that was sick all the time? If they went out of one sickness, they're in another sickness. Sickness of every kind, they're under a curse. Poverty and failure. Defeat. Number six is you're the tail and not the head. And seven, you are under and not over. So here's a list of indications that you're probably dealing with a curse. Now, again, you say, well, can a Christian be under a curse? Absolutely. They can. Now, Jesus became a curse so that we would be free from the curse, but only as we come under the guidelines of Scripture will we have that expression in our life. All right? So here's a list of indications that many people are probably under a curse. Number one, mental and emotional breakdown. You ever heard somebody said, I just fell apart? Mental and emotional breakdown. Number two, repeated or chronic sickness, especially if they're hereditary, because curses are passed from generation to generation or where doctors cannot find any normal cause. That's a curse. Thirdly, female problems. And Karen, this is what God spoke to me about our precious Katie. Female problems, barrenness, a tendency to miscarry, and menstrual problems. So the third one is female problems, barrenness, a tendency to miscarry, menstrual problems. Fourthly is a breakdown of marriage, which means family alienation. Where families fall apart, marriages break up, where children are alienated from their parents and brothers and sisters. Fifthly is financial insufficiency. Now, doesn't mean that I have been financially insufficient from time to time in my life, but it doesn't, And that maybe that's God trying to teach me something about faithfulness to him. But if I am constantly always short of money, that's a curse. Sixthly, accident prone. Always seems to have an accident. You know, 15 people step off the curb and you're the one that always sprains your ankle. You're prone to accidents, okay? All right? You know, even insurance companies, they rank people according to if they're accident prone or not. And it adjusts their rates. Seventhly is a history of suicides or unnatural deaths. And this is what God spoke to me last week about our dear Marilyn. Her father died in her 40s. Her brother died, what, in his 50s? Okay. They died prematurely. I believe it's because there's some curse that this family has been under that's bringing premature death in this family. And we're going to deal with that in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let me say it again. Number one, mental and emotional breakdown. Have you ever seen somebody that seems normal? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. But when some crisis comes, they just go berserk and have an emotional breakdown. That's a curse. Secondly, repeated chronic illnesses, especially if they're hereditary. Thirdly, female problems, barrenness, a tendency to miscarry, and menstrual problems. Fourthly, a breakdown of the marriage and family alienation. Fifthly, financial insufficiency, always being short of money. Sixthly, accident prone. And seventhly, history of suicides or unnatural deaths that's frequent in the family. Now, let me explain this. A curse is like a long, dark arm reaching from generations past, coming from the past. And every time you're about ready to break through or about ready to succeed, you get to where you want to be. This evil arm trips you up and pulls you back. And you have to get up and start again and again and again. And yet you get so far and then you're tripped up again. And the same thing happened to their father or their grandfather. It seems to run in the family. For example, in my own family, as I was studying this, I got before the Lord and prayed and I said, Lord, show me. Show me in my own life and go back generations. I can only go back a couple from me, but show me. He began to show me. And my dad was probably one of the most intelligent people I've ever met. Gregarious, smart, outgoing, anything. He could do anything. And yet he was broke all of his life. Why? Then I began to go back to his dad, my grandfather Bartleme, and he was this super salesman too and so forth, you know. But everything was a shambles in their lives. Their lives were shambles. Why? Because there was a curse. There was a curse from generations back that kept each person from breaking through. Many of those Bartleme boys had success, but they didn't have anything. They didn't have anything. Why? I believe they were under a curse. I know they were under a curse. And the Lord began to show that to me. Okay. So I want you during this time and this week, because I'm going to preach on this probably for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. I'm not sure how long it's going to go, but pray about it and ask the Lord about generational things that happened in the past. And you may know of some, but you may not know of all of them, but God would reveal, the Holy Spirit would reveal those to you. For example, my grandfather Bartleme had terribly arthritic knees. And I believe that I'm under that curse. And so I broke it in prayer this week because I refuse to be manipulated by a generational curse. Are you with me? Amen. All right. So, or there's a dark shadow from the past over your life, shutting out the sunlight of God's blessing. And you can see others walking in the blessing, but doesn't seem to shine fully on you. I can't tell you how many men have said to me, how come you're so blessed and I just can't seem to get there? And I said, well, I really didn't have a good answer. I said, well, I love the Lord and I've been obedient to his word as much as I know how. And he said, well, I love the Lord. And I said, well, there's something wrong. There's a disconnect, because God wants us to walk in the sunlight of his blessings all the days of our life. Can you say that? So any of those, if any of those apply, we need to start seeking God as we continue on this message, that the Holy Spirit will show us what our particular need or problem is. Now I'm going to ask you to turn to Proverbs 26 and verse 2. Oh, you got that marked. Glory to Jesus. Proverbs 26 and verse 2. Now let me show you this. It says, like a flitting sparrow. What would you say is a flitting sparrow? Flit, 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 like that. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not light a light. A curse that's out there is like a bird flying around, but it cannot land unless there's a cause. Goes nowhere. An undeserved curse goes nowhere without a cause to make it light. So if there's a curse, there's always a cause, according to Scripture. It's often necessary to discover the cause because you can deal with the curse. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2, which you probably have marked in your Bibles. And we're going to look at biblical causes of curses found in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Now, give me a thumbs up, Mary Lou, when you get there. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Smiley, did you run yesterday? How'd you do? Because I was praying for you yesterday thinking you were running. First place, of course. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. We got an Olympian in God's Miracle Church. All right. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of our God. The old King James Version says, if you will listen diligently to the voice of your God in the Hebrew. Now, that phrase is repeated in the word listen. So it reads this way. Listen, listening to the voice of God. Listen, listening is an emphatic, putting a underline under that word. Listen, listening, an emphasis to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what he says. So the primary reason, the primary cause of all blessings is listening to the voice of God and doing what he says. Now, the primary cause of all curses is exactly opposite. Look down at verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So what is it saying? Not listening to God's voice and not doing what he says. And these are the two root causes. And if we get released from a curse and want to remain in the blessing, we'll have to listen to God's voice and do what he says. If we go back to not listening and not doing, we're liable to come under a curse. So in the Bible, there are a number of different sources and specific causes for curses. And we've dealt with the general one. Now I want to deal with some specific ones, and the first source of curses is God himself. God's the one who pronounces curses. There are many curses in the Bible where God himself pronounces them. And of course, I'm going to ask you to turn to Exodus 20, verses 3 through 5. One of the most common forms of God's judgment on disobedient people or nations is to pronounce a curse on them. And as the curse is worked out, that's the outworking of God's judgment. So God both blesses and curses. So let's look at curses that proceed from God himself. There's one supreme cause stated in Exodus 20, which is the Ten Commandments, but in verse 3 to 5, it says, the greatest and most common cause of curses in a person's life is breaking these first two commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. In the Hebrew, it means, or maybe in your Bible, it says beside me. Okay? You shall have no other gods before me or beside me. Verse 4, you shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above and that is the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. That's idolatry. Let me stop there. The Lord just said this. You ever see an Indian totem pole? Aren't they cool? There's a curse on them. There's a curse on the Indian people, and they're drunken. They can't handle alcohol. That's a curse that has to be broken. You can give them money. You can put them on a reservation. They'll still be drunken because there's a curse over them, the American Indians. Verse 5, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the children, to the third and fourth generations of those that hate him. The word hate in the Hebrew is the word sane in the Hebrew, and it means the strong sense of the word typifies the emotion of jealousy, and therefore sane is the feeling that Joseph's brothers experienced because their father preferred Joseph over them. That was a curse on those boys, sane. They hated God. Now, they were part of the lineage of God. But because of their jealousy towards their brother, because he was favored, they hated God. A specific feature of a curse is it goes from generation to generation. Think of the pileup of generations in our world today. For example, we have ministry for the last 20 years in Myanmar. 94% of all the people in Myanmar worship Buddha. They're under a curse. There are in Phyllis's neighborhood, as I walk the dog down at the corner of the street, there's a family there that has a Buddha in their flower garden there. They're under a curse because of that. Because curses are attached to physical things too. That house is cursed, you know. And so there's something from the past, whether it's Buddha worship or lack, and you know that all religions in the world make their people poor except Christianity. They're under a curse. For example, Catholicism is the largest throughout the world. Most Catholic countries are impoverished. They're Latino countries, you know, South America, Central America, and countries around the world. Why? Because there's a curse on Catholicism that breeds in, that comes into the comes down the generational line into other people, into the people that are living today. So it's talking about an idol worship, having other gods, even the occult, which we would call tarot cards, Ouija boards, fortune tellers. You're making the power behind the fortune teller your God, whether you realize it or not. It said, wherever you go to a source other than the true God to seek the things of the true God, you're actually making your God. So cults who deny the truth of the Bible, the curses pronounced for the breaking of the first two commandments, cover every form of a cult. For example, in my upbringing, I wasn't brought up a Christian. I got saved when I was 22, as you know, so forth. I've given you my testimony. But I remember my dad going to a seance when I was in middle school. He went to a seance, and what a seance is they sit around a table, I don't know, with a candle and hold hands and dredge up demons or dredge up dead people and so forth, this seance, okay? So can you imagine in the home I was raised in was just full of demons. And there was a curse. And why did my dad do that? He was seeking something that only God was to give him. All right? He was seeking it from some other source. And so the curse is pronounced on that in the first two commandments. Verse 5 says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate him, meaning my enemy, my foe. So going back four generations means every one of us have at least 30 ancestors. And how many of us can say for sure that none of these 30 ancestors were involved in the occult? For example, in Africa, I was told by our director, Vincent, that every family in Africa has a witch in their bloodline. A witch. Now, I'm telling you, this is the truth. I don't know, were you there when we were in Kisumu at the airport? And there was a mountain there. It looked like there was smoke rising off the mountain. I don't know if you remember that, you know. And I said, oh, look, there's a forest fire. And Vincent said, oh, no, Daddy. He said, those are the witches doing their chants up there. And he said, oh, they can pronounce a curse and a building burned down. And I said, really? I said, we ought to go up there and get some action, you know. And he said, I don't think you want to go up there, you know. Well, probably I don't. But anyway, okay, let me give you another example. In a prayer meeting one night, there was a young man about 25 years old. And so I turned to him and I said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? He said, yes, but. What did he mean by but? He meant, but I've never spoken in tongues. So for some reason, I had the guidance. I said, have you ever gone to a fortune teller? Yes, when I was about 15, but it was just a joke. He confessed it as a sin to be released from the consequences, and immediately he began to speak in tongues fluently. What was holding back the language of heaven was a curse that he had submitted himself to without even realizing it. And it held back the blessing of God in his life. There was an invisible barrier there that kept him from the freedom of tongues. And that invisible barrier was the occult. All right, I'm going to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy 27, beginning in verse 15. Deuteronomy 27, beginning in verse 15. We have 12 curses pronounced here. And when Israel went into the promised land, listen to this, they had to pronounce all these curses upon themselves. Otherwise, they couldn't go in. If they disobeyed the law, they automatically came under these curses. They couldn't get into the promised land without them. And I think it's very much the same in a way when we come to a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. If we are obedient, we come under the blessing. If we're disobedient, we're in danger of coming under curses. Now, let me give you a summation again of the curses pronounced in Deuteronomy 27, verses 15 through 26. Yep. And you have to keep this in remembrance. Because you have to confess this, that if you disobey, God will bring a curse on you, even in the land of promise. Let me give you a summation of the curses pronounced here in verses 15 through 26. Number one is idolatry and false gods. The second one is disrespect for parents. We find that in Ephesians 6:2. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with the promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You can't live long on the earth if you don't honor your mother and father. That doesn't mean, now if they're not Christians, if they're bad people, that doesn't mean you agree with them. But it doesn't mean you hate them and you throw them off. Okay? Let me give you an example. When I got saved, one of the first things I did is I went to my dad, who I hadn't seen in 3 years. Went into his office and he says, what are you doing here? I said, well, I came to ask you to forgive me. I've just become a born-again Christian. And I want to ask you to forgive me for the things that I have done to you over the past years. Now, I expected a different reaction, like, well, bless your heart. He says, well, it's about time. He never took any responsibility for his beating me up and cursing me and so forth. But something happened to me that day. A curse was broken over me that was from him because of the way I had been treated in my home growing up. And that curse was broken. And I was set free because I asked him to forgive me. And by the way, for years and years, but later in the years, I led my dad to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ 3 weeks before he died, you know. And he said on his deathbed, he said, "John, you're the best friend I've ever had." And I'm like, "Dude, you got no friends. I'm the only friend you've ever had." Okay. All right. So honor your mother and father. You know, my dad tried to manipulate me away from Christ and I'd walk away. He said, "Well, I love you, but I'm not going to stay here and listen to this, but I honor you as my father." Okay. Thirdly is treachery against the neighbor. Let me give you a verse. Proverbs 17:13 of Proverbs. Proverbs 17:13 says, "Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from their house." That's a curse. If we reward good with evil, evil will not depart from our house. Fourthly is injustice to the weak or helpless. Catch this. United States of America kills babies even 8 hours after they're born. We're under a curse. The United States is under a curse from God because of the killing of the unborn children or even newly born children in our country. Number five, illicit or unnatural sex, especially incest. Listen to this statistic. It'll break your heart. In the United States, 1 out of 4 girls and 1 out of 5 boys under the age of 10 have been sexually abused. Let me list it again. 1, idolatry and false gods. 2, disrespect for parents. 3, treachery against a neighbor. 4, injustice or to the weak or helpless, abortion. 5, illicit or unnatural sex, especially incest. Let me show you another one. In Genesis 12, verse 3. We have God's call to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And he says these words to Abraham in verse 3. Genesis 12, 3. "You still love me? You hanging there with me? I love you guys so much. I'm here for you. I'm rocking for Jesus here." All right. Genesis 12, 3. He said these words to Abraham, who's the father of the Israelite nation. "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Wow, that's a big sentence there. First of all, the families of the earth were blessed because through his lineage came the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're all blessed. But he said, "I'll bless those who bless Israel, and I'll curse those who curse Israel." So whenever God singles out a man to be blessed, that man becomes a target of evil and satanic forces. So God incorporated a protection. Anyone who curses you, Abraham, God will curse. I will curse. And then it says in verse 39, this protection extended to Isaac and to Jacob and his father's blessings. So cursed, it says in verse 39, be everyone who curses Jacob. Jacob, you know, became Israel when God changed his name. So the line was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who became Israel. Now, what is the term for speaking against Jewish people today? Anti-Semitism. People who are anti-Semitic are under a curse. Well, my own father hated Jewish people. Hated them. He said, "Why do you hate Jewish people?" I wasn't a Christian yet. "Why do you hate Jewish people?" "Ah, they're cutthroats in business and blah, 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 blah." My father was under a curse because he was anti-Semitic. Anyone who is anti-Semitic is under a curse that was pronounced in Genesis chapter 21 by God. So anti-Semitism is usually followed by a curse. And for centuries, you can see nation after nation after nation after nation come under a curse because they curse the Jewish people. Palestine, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Libya, these countries that have been coming against the Jewish state, they're under a curse. They're under a curse because they curse the Jewish people. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to Jeremiah 17, verse 5 and 6. Another important curse found here. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6. Tell me when you're there. Jeremiah's in the Old Testament. Sometimes I get my Merzwix too, and I'm like, I remember when I was taking my my ordination oral exam, 4 hours with just the Bible in front of 12 men. I couldn't even remember John 3:16. I was like, I was spitting nickels, but somehow I passed. Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse 5, says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." Now, I want you to notice something there. He was a believer. His heart departed from the Lord, and he trusted in the arm of man and the flesh. But he was a believer. But this Jeremiah here is prophesying to the Jews. He said, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." Verse 6, "For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited." This is a very good description of somebody under a curse. Rain falls everywhere else except on them. Blessings are all around, but they live in a salt land. What's the cause of that curse? Trusting in man, making flesh your strength, looking to man to supply your need rather than God. So what's the scripture says, whose heart departs from the Lord. Look at that. In other words, here's a man who has known the supernatural grace and blessing of God and then turns back to rely on his own efforts, the arm of the flesh. Turned back on God's grace, and that brings a curse. It would appear that describes much of professing Christianity church today. Think about it. All the major movements in the church began out of a sovereign, supernatural visitation work of the Holy Spirit. But today, most have turned away from the supernatural power of God and started to rely on their own efforts, strength, and ability. And because of that, that church is under a curse. I'll give you a case in point, Calvary Temple in Denver, Colorado. There is no longer a Calvary Temple in Denver, Colorado. Why? Because they turned away from the sovereign, supernatural grace and power of God, and they began to look to man and the efforts of man and the flesh of man to build the church. And that's why the church came under a curse. It was under a curse. Not that I want any church to be under a curse, but God's the one who puts it under a curse. Puts it under a curse. I think that's a tremendous problem in the Christian church. Whereas we should be in blessing, but because of disobeying Jeremiah 17:5, the church comes under a curse. You say, can God do that? Yep, he can. In fact, he said he would. Now you can say, well, I don't like that. Well, I may not like it either, but he's God, and he does whatever he sees right. And that's right. So think about it today. Probably 72% of the churches in America are under a curse. Why? Because they're seeking man and answers from the flesh rather than the supernatural power of God. Okay. And so therefore, it says very clearly there in Jeremiah 15 or 5, 17 verse 5, that because of disobeying that, they come under a curse. What time is it? Do we have any? Oh, shoot. Do you want me to keep preaching? Because I can stop here and start up next week. Let me give you one more. Glory to Jesus. Zechariah chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Zechariah had a vision of a flying scroll. And there was a curse on each side of this scroll. This is unusual. Zechariah, yeah, I wasn't going to go past what I just did. I'm going to go one more. How many know you just can't stop the dude? I love the Lord of God. And I love all you people so much. I want you to be the head and not the tail. I want you to be over and not under. I want God's Miracle Church people to be triumphant in this life. Can you say a good amen? Now, that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm your pastor, and that's why I love GMC Illinois and GMC Michigan, GMC Denver, and GMC around the world, is we're gonna get this, and we're going to get healing for Katie. We're going to get what's due to God's people. Ooh, I feel the anointing right now. Jesus is Lord. Zechariah chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there was a flying scroll. Anybody seen a flying scroll? I've seen a flying squirrel. I think our accountant has a flying squirrel or two. He's nuttier than a fruitcake. He's under a curse. He's so demon-possessed, he can't see the forest for the trees. And I keep trying to make inroads in him, but he is under a curse big time. Okay? So, saw the flying squirrel. Scroll. Verse 2. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I answered, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, "This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth." This is God speaking now. "This is the curse that goes out over the whole earth." The whole earth. "Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. I shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with its timbers and its stone." On one side of the scroll was a curse for stealing, and on the other side of the scroll was a curse for perjury. In the United States, it said that 10% of the cost of retail goods is because of theft. Can you imagine if everybody in the United States quit stealing? There would be no inflation. Would there? 10%. There would be no inflation. And because those stores have to have insurance theft, they have to raise the prices. So the answer to inflation in America is people quit stealing. The curse as a result of stealing affects those who don't steal. You got to pay. If you don't steal, you still got to pay for those who are stealing. Okay? So it affects an entire nation, this curse. In this vision, the scroll would go into a person's house and the whole house would disintegrate. Oh, man. I got a lot more. I'm going to stop there, but I'll pick up next week because I want to give you the causes of curses so we can get to how to receive the blessings. To receive the blessings. Now, think about it for just a moment. Every Christian you know, including me, there have been some difficulties or issues. Now, I'm not saying every difficulty means there's a curse on you or me. But there might be some besetting sin you just can't seem to get over, get free from. And you know my testimony. I mean, I was, my folks pronounced a curse over me. And they didn't know it, but they did. Right after I got saved, but I came out of a terrible background where I was in jail and I got convicted. And I was guilty of that much more, you know. I wasn't in jail long, 5 days, but that was enough. And I remember my mom and dad came to me and they said these words, "You're a failure. You failed our family. You defamed our family name." I wanted to say, how could I defame the name of Bartlemy? They're all a bunch of convicts, you know. But I didn't say that. And they just began to pronounce words over me. You'll never hold a good job. You'll never have a good life. Your life is ruined for the rest of your life. What were they doing? They were pronouncing a curse over their son. They didn't even realize they were pronouncing that curse over me. But I was being cursed. Okay. So what did I do? I knew one scripture at that time. And I said to them, well, you may be right, but the word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So I looked right at them and I said, Mom and Dad, I choose to believe what God says about my life than what you say about my life. And so that curse could not light on me. That curse could not control me from that day forward because I took authority over it with the word of God. See, curses are pronounced by words. Curses are broken by words. And you confess the word of God. You confess the word of God. For example, I've talked with businessmen who, they work hard. You know, most people in America do work hard. It's just the guys that are out there with rioting, you know, don't work hard. They got nothing to do, so I think I'll burn down Target. But anyway, most of the people in America work hard. You've all worked hard. Well, how come there's poverty in America if most of the people in America work hard? Because they're under a curse. Doesn't matter how hard you work, how many hours you work, you just can't seem to break through. Why? Because you're under a curse. They're under a curse. And so I want to share with you these truths that God is revealing to me. I was in fasting and prayer yesterday, and I must have volumes on this. I just keep finding more and more and more and more stuff. Now, I want to say this, that as you pray, no, don't let this anointing leave you, because take it with you through the week and pray and think about it and ask the Lord if there's something from generations past or so forth, you know, that God would reveal to you, because we're going to get in a position here in the next week or two where every curse is going to be broken and the blessings are going to be released. Can you say amen? All right. I'm going to close in prayer. Father, now I want to thank you for all my brothers and sisters. And I pray that, Lord, that you will set us free completely. Things that I'm just thinking of Katie right now. And I know, Lord, for some reason, she's under some sort of a curse that is affecting her physical body. And Lord, I believe in the weeks today, tomorrow, next week, and that curse is going to be broken. And that woman is going to jump off that bed and be totally healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we believe you. We trust you. We thank you that you have every answer for our life. You've guided and directed us thus far. You'll take us all the way through. I give you praise, Lord. But Father, as God's Miracle Church people fast and pray, humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. Lord, I pray you show me my wicked ways more and more so that I could confess them as sin and repent of them so you could hear from heaven after you forgive me and heal my land. I know my forgiveness is there. You just want me to acknowledge that to you. And I pray that for every man, woman, and child that is listening to my voice, and those by podcast, I pray you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're totally cursed. You need to receive Jesus by just saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and set me free from the curse of sin and death and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I confess you as my Savior in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. I'm going to stop there and pick up next week. If you want the first scripture next week, it's Malachi 3 verses 8 through 10. That's the first scripture I'm going to start with next week. What's that? Let me say this. Let's stop.